You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Diablo's Digest. I am joined with my co-host, the one and only Ivan Murillo.
Now people are going to think my name's Ivan. I don't know if people already think
Ivan,
that.
Ivan Murillo. Ivan Murillo. There you go.
How's What's up? That? How's that it better? Going? That's better. How you doing?
That's true. A lot of people always do say that.
People still Ivan. Call me Ivan. They know me 30 years. They still call me that. It is what it is.
You know, I think sometimes it's... Sometimes it rolls better off the top, like when you're doing something, so it's like interchangeable, you know?
Yeah, it's like whatever.
What do you got for me, dude? It's fucking starting to get hot outside, right? I just left the shop. So the last time we got together, we just went to Generations. So shout out to Mark and that whole crew for hosting the Friday event before the bowl.
It was actually a Thursday event.
The Thursday event, right? Yeah. So right. Friday Eve. How was the bowl, Ivan? What did you hear? I unfortunately did not get to make it.
Yeah, I was not able to make it myself because of I had to go to a wedding in Martha's Vineyard, and that was planned before I was able to make arrangements to go to the bowl. From what I heard, it was, you know, it went pretty well. I watched a lot of Instagram live videos of the bands. I watched the Marauder set look pretty cool. The Death Threat set looked really cool.
Yeah, Death Threat looked good. Pain of Truth looked good.
With Freddie Madball coming up there with them looked really cool.
Yeah, super sick.
That leads in, you know.
Yeah, that leads into Tide Down, another big fest happening this weekend that Pain of Truth is playing, and Death Threat's on.
Is Death Threat's on there? Oh yeah,
yeah. Very cool. Oh no, Tide Down is that with or no? I'm confusing shows right now.
You're thinking Death Threat's playing that Cold as Life,
the Cold as Life show, right? Show. But is it in the same space that they do the Tide Down fest? I think that's what I'm thinking.
That I'm not sure, but I just know Trapped Under Ice and Grilled Biscuits are the two big heavy hitters.
That's a crazy lineup, man, especially over there.
And apparently, I mean, by the time this is put out there, it's already going to have happened, but it's sold out. So, you know, that's good shit. The Midwest repping, doing their thing. And hardcore lives, right?
Yeah, a lot of cool shows, actually. And we, you and I just spent the weekend at two shows here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
The Wham Leg, which was, I wouldn't say it was super important to you and me because we're kind of a little older, although the distance when it was the Wham Leg before, you know, like the first iteration of the Wham Leg, we played there a bunch. Did you guys ever play there?
Dead Wrong never played there, but Unforgiven played there a bunch.
Unforgiven, just, yeah. So
just for the uninitiated, the Wham Leg is the Wallingford American Legion, which was pretty much been the hub of the Connecticut hardcore scene for, it's got to be what, close to almost 20 years, not quite, but
It's next to a Dairy Queen, which is enjoyable. They must make a lot of money off me,
you know. It's the place where the DIY scene in Connecticut lived, and it's where newer bands got their feet wet.
Yeah, I mean, one of the newer bands that just comes to mind that really I think kind of made a name for themselves. Like I saw them start playing there, and then they were playing like much bigger. It was like Adrian, you know, like that, them, Ilcom, shout out, rest in peace, who was on Static Era. They just played their last show over the weekend, but they were another band that kind of started out of there. It was like I think for the younger generation, it was also big with punk rocker, like the real punk scene. They used to do a lot of real DIY type shit.
It's funny. They used to do basement shows down where the little bar places.
Which is crazy.
I never went to one of those. But I can only imagine those were probably crazy. But yeah, it's definitely a big loss for the Connecticut underground scene for sure.
It was funny.
What place is going to take its space? You know, that's the kind of what I've been thinking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny too, because you mentioned the basement of that place. Like, yo, I had no idea that was even like a fucking thing until like, you know, a couple of years ago when someone's like, oh, you know, that there's like a bar downstairs. And I was like, there's a fucking bar in this place. I'm like, you know, but yeah, you know, I don't know what's going to take its place. I'm, I was talking to, I'm going to shout out Pete Mould, the owner of Cellar on Treadwell, which is the, it's in the same, if anybody's ever been to a show at the Space in Hamden, Connecticut, it's the venue that's inside the parking lot, kind of, in there. And I've been trying to talk to Pete. The problem is that shows are like not really all ages, but if you, there's like this weird thing. So I'm trying to work that out with him to try to connect some dots with him and some of our, you know, some of our friends, like the Seventh Circle guys and whatever B-Hop's calling his booking thing. I'm drawing a blank right now. But you know, I mean, his cap, room's like a one, like about 100, 125. So it's a perfect space. It's got a small stage. It's got a bar. The only thing is like, it's not all ages, but he kind of said like, you know, if they had a guardian or whatever, but I don't know how, what that would really entail. But I wouldn't mind seeing some shows go there. You know, I like the beer racks for certain things, but I really want,
you need a place where the DIY scene can thrive. Yeah. We need that yeah, same need, type you, of place.
Yeah. You need a venue. And I think I know, our guest later today has a new place in mind that we'll have to ask him about. Maybe that's going to fill a hole, you know, they have a show coming up soon. In Meriden. So we'll have to ask our guest about that. That might be a thing, but I agree, man. Like the Wham Leg, I think was a very important place for like, you know, a band first starting out, first show, and you want to get your feet wet. You want to get to play in front of, you know, 50, 60, 70 kids and feel like it's a packed room. I mean, that room is really small for anyone who hasn't been there. I thought what was cool too, Yvonne, was that, shout out to Sonny from Hate 5-6 was there recording, which was huge for Connecticut.
He was there.
He was there Saturday and Sunday.
That's very cool.
Which was super fucking awesome, man. Like we don't really get, there's so many content creators in Connecticut that do an amazing job. But yeah, it's still cool when you get somebody like Sonny to come out for the last, you know, last two Wham Leg shows, there. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say for you and I, our frame of reference from our generation was, I'd say, the Tune In and the Hanover House. Tune In was New Haven, Hanover House was Meriden. And those were the two places that kind of we kind of really experienced our kind of coming up and growing in the hardcore scene.
Yeah, I agree.
The Wham Leg came around kind of after that. And obviously,
I would
say
the Wham Leg came around.
We're still
when,
part of.
Yeah, just, Wham Leg came around when I would say you and I were both kind of in more, I hate using the word like pro bands, but like
pro band.
Well, I would say like when the distance was more like a pro core band, we would play
sure.
A little room like that, like, you know, like that and stuff. It was just a fun place to play, but there's, you know, it doesn't have like there was no monitors or nothing like that. It's very DIY.
Yeah, it was very,
like,
yeah, no stage, no monitors. It was very, very bare bones, but it got the job done, you know.
It's an awesome space, and yeah, I agree with you, man. I'm really hoping that someplace can take that kind of lead, you know, like that, like I said, like that first show for someone. Cause you know, dude, unfortunately the way that it is right now in Connecticut. And again, this, you know, we have so many great promoters, but it's going to be hard to get those opening spots without having a little place like the Wham, like to kind of get your feet wet and practice your band out, see how you can draw, bring it to somebody. You know what I mean? I think that's going to hurt us a lot. So I do hope that something fills that void. I've heard a couple of rumors from some of our friends of, you know, maybe a new venue here or a new venue there. You know, again, I know Pete over at Cellar Treadwell wants to do something, not to get too hyper-focused on Connecticut, but this is going to be a little Connecticut centric episode, especially because of our guests. But yeah, man, I agree with you. I definitely think we need some new venues, and hopefully we'll have some announcements soon.
Yeah, there was two shows.
Cuban
there.
Cuban Club in Bridgeport is ready.
Oh yeah, I know. You're still talking about that.
Anytime they're ready, you know.
Yeah, obviously there's this last weekend there was three final shows at the Wham Leg. The Saturday one we'll get into with our guest. Sunday was kind of something we were talking about. There was two shows on Sunday. There was one that was a younger bands that were kind of coming through, but then there was the final show, which is really the kind of the older crowd of CTHC.
Yeah.
Ig, Pale Horse.
Yeah. So for those who don't know,
Colin Arabia.
For those that don't know, Ig is Pete Morrissey, 100 Demons, Higher Force, Force Reality. It's his band with Dave Russo. Shout out to my boy Dave. Shout out to my boy Larry Dwyer.
Yeah, Dave and Larry from the original Hatebreed lineup.
From the original Hatebreed lineup. So they play. And then they it was funny because, you know, when they were getting ready to play that show, I said to Dave, I said, how many people know that you guys even have original songs and you're not just a Misfits cover band? Because they've done, it must be like, what, 20 years already, right?
No, I think it's about 15.
15. So every year in Connecticut, Pete throws an enormous Halloween show where they go all out and they call themselves Ig Fits, and they do a Misfits set like in depth, right? I mean, it's like a 2-hour show that they do.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
like
it's
almost every song.
It's not usually on Halloween night, but it's in that vicinity.
It's like the weekend before. Yeah, it falls.
It's
in
always
that.
Always a great time if you're obviously not local to Connecticut. If you are, you should definitely try to come down and check it out. They usually have it at Cherry Street Station in Wallingford, Connecticut, and it's just really fun.
Yeah, it's a good time, and they go all out. I mean, they get their makeup professionally done, so they look like the Misfits, and then they usually end up having some other cover bands that are usually, you know, doing some kind of, you know, like one time I know Ray Benson did the Merciful Fate cover band.
Yeah,
you know,
Unforgiven, so they, we did a Cro-Mags cover set.
Yep. So it's a lot of fun. Very, again, very Connecticut, but a good time. But
yeah, we were there on Sunday night.
Yep.
And, it was a fun time. Parking lot hang, obviously.
Yeah.
All the bands played good. Who played first? What was the first band?
So
the
first band was a band called The Work.
The Work, I believe. Yes.
Yep. I unfortunately missed them. I was doing the rounds. And kind of got caught up in some business stuff really quick, of course. For me, who knows me, is not surprised. But what I could hear sounded awesome. Kind of just sounded like cool street punk hardcore stuff. They seemed to do really well. Like I said, from what I could gather, there was a lot of people watching them. There was a good crowd too. I mean, obviously, dude, nothing could compare to what fucking Saturday was. Like, I don't even know how that place didn't get shut down for fire code or something. I mean, it was like Saturday, which we'll get into the lineup after, but the there must have been between parking lot and that building, what, 300 people? Easy, right? I mean, I don't feel like I'm
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in the 200, 250 vicinity, maybe 300. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people.
I was definitely thinking like 3, but you might be right on about 250.
Just on bands alone. I mean, there's like 20 bands.
Well, that's why I was saying, and people. Yeah. I mean, there was just so many people there. So Sunday I would say was about 100 and change, maybe. So it was a really great crowd. Unfortunately, like I said, missed the work. And then the second band was
Colin of Arabia.
Colin of Arabia, who always puts on a fucking awesome show. COA's been playing Connecticut since inception. And we get to see them. We're spoiled to get to see them pretty often. We saw them with Terror a few months back, actually at BRX. That show was great.
And then I saw them at the last time I saw them, I'm pretty sure, was also at the Wham Leg. I forget who they played with.
Yeah, they did a free show.
It was like, right.
I didn't get a chance to make it out to that. But yeah, man, they fucking tore it up. I think Colin said that they're working on some new music. I don't know what the rollout or the details are for that.
Ig came up next.
Yeah, Ig came up next. And like I said, I told you about them. Obviously, super solid set. You know, crowd was a little interesting there. Almost an issue. Luckily, not one. You know, I was telling Yvonne, hey, make sure you have my back. Yvonne's he's off in somewhere else. I don't know what he was doing. But needless to say, it was resolved. I don't know that the dude wanted to resolve it with me, but it got resolved. And then after that was Pale Horse.
Closed it out. Fitting band.
Yeah, fitting band to play the last show in Connecticut. It's been nice to see them playing again. I've plugged them a few times on this. It's cool to see them being an active band again. I think Connecticut needs, you know, a band like them for the younger bands to look up to.
For sure.
For, you know, and we definitely need some... you know, they got that Connecticut sound, that heavy shit that everybody loves. So I'm glad to see them back. Like I said, I'm a fan. I was right up front for them. Yeah, a lot of fun, dude. It's going to be you know, as much as I complained about the Wham leg going there and stuff, I am going to miss it because there was always like an interesting show or an interesting hangout there. And,
yeah, I mean,
and again, shout out to Andreas who ran it.
Oh, he's the best. Andreas, we love you. You're the man.
With Ren, his girl. Yep. You know, Andreas, yeah, man, shout out. He really did the damn thing. And he saved the show for happening Sunday because, you know, spoiler.
We'll get more into that.
Yeah, the last two bands didn't get to play because there was a power outage on Saturday. So it looked like maybe on Sunday the first two shows weren't going to happen. I saw pictures of the show before the Ig show. The only band, and I'm sorry for forgetting all the other bands. I know that Princess though played, which that's label mates with you guys on Crime Wave.
Yep.
They just put out their new EP, so check that out. They stopped by the store. Which was really nice, but they played the afternoon show. That looked like it was a lot of fun. And then again, yeah, like Sunday night was just a rager of just all friends. It was a really good time. What else you got for me, Yvonne?
I think that's really about it. Oh yeah. I want to make one correction. I think, when we did the podcast in the car,
yep.
I was talking about Vulture Raid is actually a Philly band. My boy, Felipe, who was in the band.
What did we say, New York?
I thought it was New York. I had to correct myself. But
it's all good, man. We all make mistakes.
But Felipe is like a New York guy. I always consider him that. So, but great band. Definitely check them out if you can. I know we big up them on the last podcast. So
that's cool. I want to just plug too that the couple things, Static Era, that the Cinema Stereo record is out. It's been out for like 2 weeks now, streaming super well. The band is on tour. And they just announced today that they'll be playing Fest in Gainesville, which is a huge deal. So we're really excited. Vinyl will be here soon. We had a little bit of a snag with the artwork, so it's going to be a couple weeks added on, but it's going to be worth it. So I want to shout that out. And then I also just want to shout out the Rolling Coffin that's been out for like a month and change now, and it's doing very well. Tim and I are working on a video for Heaven Knows. So we're going to be excited to get that out. And then, you know, hopefully, man, we'll get, you know, he'd love to do a live show. So that's kind of like the next thing for them. And then, you know, dude, I got a cool variant of something coming out. I'm going to shout out my boy Lumpy and Days. I don't want to say what it is yet because he's going to let everybody know. But we're excited to.
We'll just say it's Connecticut centric release.
It's a Connecticut centric release.
A band that got out there a bunch. So,
yeah. And obviously, you know, when something like that comes your way, friends of mine and Connecticut band, you got to support that shit.
And last thing, we got to give a shout out to Lord Ezek. Milwaukee Metal Fest this past weekend. He did the DJ stint. Looks like he had a great time.
I was just going to say, as always, Diablo's Digest is brought to you by Danny Diablo Merch and Force 5 Records. So make sure you check both those out. Like Yvonne said, Ezek just was over at Milwaukee Metal Fest, which has just been put back on by the Lord and Savior Jamie Josta, you know, and he's doing big things. I saw the videos from it. It looks sick. I saw Biohazard, a bunch of fucking cool bands. But yeah, Ezek DJ'd that. I also saw that he's got some new videos coming out and some other shit too. So we're gonna do a proper episode in a week or two. We've been texting about it. So you know, I'll have more details soon, but yeah, shout out to Ezek for letting us do our thing here. But yeah, so we're going to get ready to get our guest on and hang tight for a second. All right, we're back. I am excited to welcome our guest to the show today. I would definitely say the leader is a fucking the new Connecticut hardcore. Would you agree with us, Yvonne?
I'd say that's accurate.
A very accurate statement there. So yeah, everybody, please welcome our friend Noah from Wreckage. Yo, Noah, thank you for joining us today, man. We are me and Yvonne are excited to have you on for this Connecticut hardcore centric episode. We were talking about the Wham leg. We wanted to have you on, talk about the last show on Saturday, talk about the band. So dude, first, for everybody who does not know you, man, tell everybody you know, who you are. Tell us a little bit about Wreckage, all the good stuff.
Sure. So I'm Noah, born and raised in Connecticut.
Hell yeah.
Started playing in bands and going to shows when I was like 14. So I've been here for almost a decade. It'll be a decade next year. Awesome. And now I sing in Wreckage. I play drums in a band called Ilcom that we actually played our last show at the last Wham! Like show.
Yeah, rip, man. One of my favorite releases that we got to do. And it was a pleasure to work with you, man. You were really the reason that CD even happened.
It was,
You were so good on communication, man.
Yeah. It was tough. It was tough, but we made it happen.
We made it happen, dude. And it came out. And that band is so sick for those who didn't get to get it. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Keep telling everybody about yourself.
Yeah, I sing in Ilcom. That's the main focus right now.
Wreckage.
I sing in Wreckage. Sorry, I played drums in Ilcom. I sing in Wreckage. That's the main focus now. Going to shows, dancing.
Awesome,
been,
man.
Been yeah, trying to book shows.
Real quick, what was the reason for Ilcom disbanding?
So we just kind of all started doing different things, you know? Like Danny and I had Wreckage going on. Danny also has Kidnapped, Almighty Watching. He's also in Balmora.
He's in like 100 bands. Yeah.
He somehow has an endless plate.
He's like Lumpy. I feel like him and Lumpy could give a run for each other on the
It's
on
funny
because
they're both like the same guy. Yeah. You hang out. It is insane to hang out with both of them at the same time. But yeah. Tommy, he's now in Papercut. He's the DJ. Cesar, he sings an Ultimatum. So we just all had our own things going on. It just kind of like
the it magic ran its wasn't course. There.
It definitely ran its course. We had put out a good CD, you know, played some dope shows, and it kind of just like felt like its natural end, you know?
Yeah, and it's better sometimes too, man, to go out on top. And I felt like when you guys decided to do it, you know, like I said, man, I was so excited to do that release. And my favorite thing more than anything is like working with the people more than the band. So again, dude, working with you, working with Cesar, Danny, all people who I wanted to work with already. Getting the chance.
You know, it was funny though. Remember when you guys announced you were breaking up, and I was like, I texted Jay. I just saw your IG story. I was like, yo, Ilcom's breaking up.
We didn't know. And then Cesar was like texting me. He's like, oh yeah, sorry, man. I should have told you first. I was like, yeah. It's all good, man. I'm like, I was a teenager or young 20s ones too, so I get it.
Yeah.
But it's all good, man. Let's I want to talk about Wreckage though, man, really. Sure. So for those who haven't yet heard, you guys put out a record in January. Mm-hmm. I think it was January 1st?
January 1st, yeah.
January 1st of this year on Scheme. Shout out to Kyle, who's one of me and Yvonne's favorite people in the core. We've gotten Dutches with him. That's what you need to know about our friendship. he put out a solid record. Tell me about Wreckage coming together, Noah. Like, what was the idea? Were you already, like, how did that work? Were you doing Ilcom already, or did Wreckage come out of that? And if so, like, tell us about it all coming together and what your idea was with that band. Because again, it seems like you nailed it, you know, right on with it. So tell us a little bit about that coming together.
Wreckage and Ilcom kind of, I would say almost at the same time, came together. Like, we started Ilcom. Danny came into the picture. We were hanging out with Danny, and Danny's like, we got to get this kid singing in a fucking band. And so him and Matt had this other thing going on, our other guitarist, Matt. And they started this like kind of, they just originally Matt was on drums, but they were just doing this like crusty punk thing. And then I came in, I just listened to it a couple times. And I think maybe with like two or three practices under our belt, we just recorded a demo right after Ilcom recorded a demo, like all the same day. I learned all the drums for it. Recorded the drums for it that day. We just like wrote some shitty lyrics, just got it all down, literally did the whole demo that night after we had already recorded another demo. And that was like crazy. The chaos that Wreckage was created through. And then yeah, that one was mostly like Danny took the reins with writing it, and then afterwards Matt kind of just came to us with these three songs, which were demo two, which definitely changed the trajectory.
Yeah, I was going to say demo, because I have both, but I remember like demo two is where that's where Scheme kind of gets involved a little bit, right?
Yeah, we put that out, and then Kyle was like, I'll just do some tapes for you if you want. So he did our art, you know, he's done pretty much all of our art. So he did those tapes, and then it was kind of just like we assumed he would do a record if we wanted to. It wasn't really set in stone, but we were like throwing out ideas like, oh, maybe we'll do it with these people. Maybe we'll do it with these people. See how it is.
I was going to say, because like, yeah, you guys definitely had a lot of hype from demo two. And it seemed like you could have had your choice of labels. And one of my favorite things, and I've said this a couple times about, you know, bands like Wreckage and Pain of Truth, is that you guys stay with the labels that are developing you, which is so fucking cool. because, you know, man, it's important, especially like, you know, somebody like a Lumpy or Kyle who's investing so much. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, to lose a band always hurts. You know what I mean? Even if we all want everything to be bigger and go on to other things, but it is fucking cool when bands stay. And I thought that was so awesome that you guys did that with Kyle, you know?
Yeah, we did have some options, but at the end of the day, Kyle was the one who's putting the most like work into it. You know, he's our boy.
Yeah. Know? Oh no, he's the best.
Done our artwork. He was super excited to put the record out. Like he really wanted to, you know? So there was just, it only made sense to do it with Scheme. And I think we'll probably maybe only ever do things with Scheme just because like now it's like we're intertwined, like Scheme and Wreckage kind of feel like one entity. Yeah. You know?
Well, and it's like, if you look at the history of say like a Bridge Nine, right? It's like, you could be like the American Nightmare to that. It's the trajectory, you know, everybody who gets, you know, in a lot of ways, when you're starting a label, you kind of hope that you can get a band like that because that obviously attracts a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's totally what's happening with Scheme. And again, like you said, man, Kyle, he just really understands, you know, he redid the artwork for the Distance release and he just mm-hmm. really has an understanding of like where you're trying to come from, where the band is coming from, while keeping it really in tune with what's happening. And I, yeah, man, to your point, I really dig that, you know?
Mm-hmm. If there's one man that has a vision, one man that understands hardcore, it's Kyle Nyland.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, let's talk about the Wham Lake show on Saturday and, yeah. kind of go through that. I stopped by for about an hour and I just hung out outside. I know I had to just stop by. I had to do some stuff. I'd pick my son. I know Jay stopped by later. We both felt it was important at least just kind of show face and just chill for a few minutes, but seemed like a really lively parking lot vibe. When I would look inside the door, seemed like there's a lot of people watching the bands. Tell us a little bit about Saturday.
No, what do you estimate people-wise was there? Because me and Yvonne had estimated earlier. I said 300 between parking lot and people. Yvonne said like 250. I mean, I know those are very close, but I mean,
it's like,
I don't think I've ever seen that place as fucking packed as it was that day.
That's probably the most packed I've ever seen it. I'd say we might've been pushing 300. I estimated around 2.
Okay.
That was like, my expectation was around 200 people or more.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like I said to Yvonne, I was really surprised that somehow, thankfully, like no cops or anything came to like shut it down. They just let it happen, which was fucking awesome. I got there a little bit later. I was actually hoping to catch you guys in Anxious. I had the shop. But yeah, tell us about the day, man, like going into that, because you were involved in a few different levels. Like you were playing a couple different sets and then mm-hmm. obviously you're friends with all the guys booking this. So you're getting roped into like running the door and all that shit. Dude, tell me and Yvonne a little bit about going into that day and what it was like.
I wanted to be there right when it started, but I woke up with a crazy migraine battling that until I left. It dissipated like halfway through the car ride there, but I got there, I think as Ultimatum was playing, I think they opened it. So I got there, I was listening to them outside, and then I think it was like Broken Vow was after them, but I think I knew pretty much every single band that played. So it was like, I felt bad, you know, if I had to like stand outside for one, just cause it was so hot and disgusting.
Oh dude, it was, yeah. I peeked in for like a second to just say what's up to Sean when, I think it was right when you guys were setting up, but the power issue thing wasn't really resolved yet. So I just kind of, I peeked in to say what's up and I was like, this is awful. And there was no one even in there yet. It was kind of, everybody had cleared, but yeah, it was super crowded. Yeah. It was a very Connecticut centric show. Who are you looking forward to? Was there anyone in particular you were like, oh, I can't wait to see them in that setting. I mean, for me, definitely seeing, I had wanted to see Illcom, but I was really hoping to see Wreckage and Anxious in that setting just cause it would have been just fucking crazy, you know?
I was excited to see Anxious in that room just because I don't think I've ever seen them play a room that small.
Yeah. Oh, I can't, I don't think so at all.
And I was also excited for Balmora cause I hadn't seen them yet. All the other bands I had seen a bunch, you know, but it was an awesome day from start to finish. Like every band had a great reaction. Kids were moshing. The room was packed. People were singing along. It went too smooth. without any hiccups. So it really makes sense that it had to all blow up right. as Wreckage was about to play.
No pun intended there, because the building literally did almost blow up. Yeah.
It's fucked up, because the last time I was there, it was just like a cool, like, it was like a 50 people attend type of show. And I was moshing. Literally, Lumpy was taking a video of me moshing, like laughing. And then somebody comes along and like kicks the outlet, the one that blew up. And I saw sparks fly out in front of me, and it shut out all of the electricity in the front of the room, literally just where the bands were playing, shut that off. And the kids from Hate Still Burns were still there. And one of them, I guess, is like an electrician's apprentice. And he came in and he like messed with it and fixed it, and they finished the show. But we couldn't make that happen.
That's such a bum out, man. I wanted to, me and Yvonne were just saying before you joined, about the lack now of a space, that, you know, now that Wham-Leg is going to be gone, you are stepping up and booking some shows at a location. You haven't really given too many details.
Location yet to be determined, but it's determined, but it's kind of like an Ask a Punk thing. I'm getting a vibe on it. What's the deal?
It's in very true DIY fashion, where it's like, they don't really want like the address out there, but like eventually people are going to know about it.
Got you.
This place in Meriden called Superposition, who are really
dude. You're taking
people.
Us back to the Hanover House roots, right? You're bringing this back.
Yeah, it's it's really, we have Danny to thank for this place. Somehow he knows these people. He's got people in all sorts of cracks and crevices. You know,
That's that power violence scene, man.
It's the power violence. It runs deep. We have that. We're doing the church in Hamden also with Combust later in the year. We're really just trying to find whatever we can. We're thinking about booking shows at like Purgatory in Middletown.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I was saying to Ivana, I mentioned it before you jumped on, was I had talked to a friend of mine owns that place, the Cellar on Treadwell there, the place inside. And I'm trying to convince him to open it up all ages, and he seems pretty open about it. So that's something, because I did say to him, I was like, look, man, there's a bunch of promoters that I'd love to bring in there. Like, he's open. I think, it's going to take like a little talking to him and getting him to understand and do like, you know, one or two shows that go kind of smooth. But it is really unfortunate, man. There were so many bands that the Wham-Leg was really an important place to kind of like get your craft right, you know, and kind of play that first show. And
it was the crutch for the scene for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was where the scene existed for. That's was the CT hardcore scene to me, at least that was the place.
I couldn't tell you how many shows I've been to there, and it was like some of the first shows I ever went to. That was the only place around, you know. And like the dark ages of like 2016 to 2019, that was also like the only place around.
Yeah, you're right. In every lull, the Wham-Leg was always like around.
Yeah.
So like when there was no venue, it was always like, well, the Wham-Leg was there. And now, unfortunately, like we got hit hard, man, because between that and State House being gone, it's like, you know, you don't realize how spoiled you are until it's all gone, you know?
It's like, I like the Space Ballroom, but it gets a little too professional.
It's too pro.
Like, you got to sign a W-9, and then you have to they give you a check, and you got to, you know, check in, you have to go, and you have to do sound checks. And it's like, come on, it's hard. We'll play shitty. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. You like that lawless vibe like we like, man, which is that was what was so great about State House. You know,
I mean, hey, I like a good, you know, national act coming through with the space and stuff. But nothing's better than like a DIY vibe. Seeing some bands on the come up, you know.
I'm going to just shout out. I do want to shout out like Ben and Chris and Mark and all them who do run the space, because they do an excellent job, and that those are the, you know, they do bring in some great bands. So I don't want to make it sound like we're shitting on that stuff, it's just not, you know, we come from something a little bit, and all those guys did too. Like, you know, Ben and Chris and Mark are definitely hardcore kids, but yeah, I mean, I think they are definitely catering to people who are like me and Yvonne's age, like the older thing. And there needs to be that youthful, you know, like that Wham-Leg vibe where like, that's the youth, you know, like the Crunch House thing or whatever, which it sounds like that's what you have going on.
So Noah, I want to ask you kind of, how did you get into hardcore? What was your first show? What was kind of your entry point? I always like to ask people kind of where they came from, what they're listening to beforehand, and how they got into this whole crazy world.
So when I was younger, really young, my dad was always into like metal. He was into like grunge, hard rock. So I was always around heavier music, you know? And then my brother got into like Avenged Sevenfold and Godsmack and like bands like that. So I was like 10, 11, listening to bands like that. And then as I started to sort of get my own identity, I listened to more like underground music. I was just coming across things on YouTube, just falling into rabbit holes. And then I met the dudes in Hard Feelings, Jamie and Alex, who were into like pop punk and hardcore, and they would start giving me recommendations and stuff. So I was introduced to like the world of, you know, our scene pretty much. And they brought me to my first show when I was like 13.
That's awesome.
Pop punk band was playing. It was at some house in Meriden, and I had no idea what I was in for, you know, but it was like in the basement of this house. And there was, I think, also the people who were in like Enraged Youth, like a couple years after that, they had like some sort of preamble to that band that played that show. And it was crazy. I was standing like on the stairs way in the back and just watching the chaos. But yeah, that's pretty much how I got into it. And I kept going to shows with those dudes. We started a band in like 2014 called Slow Burn, which played a bunch of shows up until like 2017. And then, yeah.
That's awesome, man. It's funny too. It always seems to happen. Like Yvonne said, I love hearing that first story. Like, were you instantly hooked when you saw like when you see a band in a basement, or were you like, I could do this too kind of thing? Or were you just more like, I want to be around it? Or what was your initial reaction when you see that?
I think it was sort of just my introduction to what like bands and music should be, you know?
Yep.
It was just so much energy. It was so chaotic. It just seemed so real, you know? And so I thought it was cool. So I just wanted to be that. I wanted to be that person who was playing in bands and playing shows that people were, you know, losing their minds to.
Yeah, that's so sick. I wanted to ask you too, Noah, who did you guys record the full length with? Because the production is really right on. Who did that?
We did it with our friend Chaz, the same guy who did Ilcom. Awesome. He did Almighty Watching. He does Kidnapped. I think he just did the Ultimatum stuff. He's starting to expand out to other people, but he's like our producer. He has all the stuff set up in our practice spot. It's real easy to just go up there and record anything with him, demo stuff out, but he's gotten really, really good at it. And I think,
yeah, that's sick. I really like the production on it too, on the record. And yo, you guys have a fucking ton of cool shows coming up. You guys were announced on This Is Hardcore. So shout out to our guest, guest Joe Hardcore.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Like, what did it feel like to get asked to play that? How did that come about?
That was like a dream come true for like 14-year-old Noah.
Yeah.
I grew up on like the Hate 5-6 videos of This Is Hardcore. It was like, holy shit, these people are crazy.
Dude, and now
like,
you're going to be one.
I know I'm going to be a This Is Hardcore video.
Full circle.
It's awesome. I'm stoked for that. I think it'll be really dope, you know.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to do really well, especially too, because the record's been out for a while. So kids are going to know it. And I seen how you guys played. You guys did LDB Fest, right?
We did FYA.
Or FYA, sorry, my apologies.
Yeah, that's okay.
And the reaction was really great. So again, I can only imagine how this being closer to home is going to be, you know?
I know.
I'll just say, like, when me and Jay see that shit, we see, like, you're on FYA, you're on This Hardcore. Like, yeah, man, that's one for the good guys right there.
We get, I mean, you know? Noah, you know this, because I feel sometimes like a punisher, because I always say to Noah, like, oh, I'm so psyched. But I genuinely, and you hear me say this when I'm talking to our guests, man, like, I am so excited when I see a band from Connecticut, whether it's a hardcore band or punk rock or anything in our world, do well, because it's like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? We have such a great state, and it's like, there's such good stuff. And it's like, dude, when there's a band like a Wreckage that all of us can get behind, it's fucking awesome. You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, not to be like sound corny or like a punisher, but I always say to Noah, I'm like, man, I'm so fucking good, or what, because it genuinely is. And I genuinely get excited watching you guys play, as I do, you know, watching bands I have loved for a long time. You know, and it surpasses that when I'm friends with you guys. Like, I genuinely think, like, anyone who watched you guys, and I'll say this when a testament to this was you guys opened for Gorilla Biscuits at the Space. Mm-hmm. And that was like dudes even older than me and Yvonne. And I seen fucking old dudes who, you know, they don't really get down with anything. A couple of them I fucking know, and I know how miserable they are. And they were fucking getting down to Wreckage. And it was awesome, because again, it's like, they're seeing what, you know, like me and Yvonne seeing the younger thing. And again, dude, seeing you guys go and playing out of state and taking it to that next level, you know, it's one thing, you know, shout out to the bands that do it local, but when a band like a Wreckage, you know, from our scene is on there now doing all the fest, you know, doing that shit. I mean, fuck, no better feeling, dude.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know you that well, Noah, but obviously I follow the band. Jay knows you a little better, but when I see something like that, like I said again, that's like, you're on our team. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, you're part of Connecticut. You're on our team always. So when we see a Connecticut band have success, we definitely take a little bit of a, it makes us feel good. It gives us
It's something for the whole state, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody could take a little piece of that cake, you know?
And plus, Connecticut's such an underdog place too, you know?
It is. It really is.
Especially in the past, like, years and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it has been. No, you have some other big shows you announced too. I'm sorry I don't have my notes in front of me, but what else did you recently announce besides This Is Hardcore? No, I know that there's a local show, right? Connecticut show?
Yeah, we got the Robbery Age show July 30th.
That's going to be at this new venue.
That's at this new venue.
Yep.
I've actually never been there, so we'll see how that is. We have a tour with Combust. We're doing like 10 days with Combust, like starting in Cleveland, going down the coast and back up.
Shout out. Cleveland's, you know what's funny? If you get a chance, since you guys and Combust are on tour, you guys, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to be able to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for free if you were a band on tour.
Really?
Which I highly recommend going, dude, because it's an awesome experience. They have a ton of cool exhibits. And like I said, they used to let you go in for free if you were in a band. So you should look into that because it's pretty cool.
Dope. Noted. We got like a weekend with Adrian and Moment of Truth.
Awesome.
We're doing that in like, it's going to be Atlanta and then three shows in Florida. So we're hitting like Jacksonville, Tampa, and Fort Lauderdale. We have Snapcase in July also.
Wow, where's that?
That's in New Jersey.
That's going to be awesome.
That's great.
It's like a 200 cap room.
That's too awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's going to be dope.
Are you guys, I don't want to go too behind the curtain, but are you guys booking, are you guys have a booking agent or are you doing all this yourselves right now?
No, it's just us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We probably won't ever have an agent. You know, I think bands like Mindforce get away without an agent, without a manager or anything. I think we can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Good point. It's funny though, because you know how many people your age. I'm just, and not, this isn't like a younger thing, but it's like, I mean, fuck, even people my age who are doing this, going like, I'm not doing shit unless I have an agent, or I'm not. And I love that you guys are like, no, we're going and fucking playing. Like, I mean,
few bands need an agent at this level.
But listen, both of you know how many demos and Punishers come into the store, and I'll just be like, I ain't doing shit unless. And I'm like, bro, you don't draw. You draw fucking three people. What do you mean? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I don't. It makes no sense sometimes.
Yeah.
So it is. It is good to hear, man. You know, like that. You guys are really, you know, doing it. Like I said, man, it's super impressive when you see. And I had mentioned you guys when I was talking to Joe that, you know, it was just so cool to see a Connecticut band, on there. I, you know, we haven't had one in a while. Dude, Laid to Rest was kind of the last Connecticut band that played like This Is Hardcore. It's been a couple of years since they were doing anything, so we didn't have like a band to get behind.
Wasn't much of an export from Connecticut for a little while.
No, but now we got fucking Wreckage and Scheme Records, which is exciting. Yeah. Dude, what else are you guys working on? Noah, is that pretty much it for the, is that going to bring us through the summer, or what else we got cooking?
That's going to bring us through the summer. We just announced today we're playing, it used to be Act Like You Know Fest out in Tulsa.
Oh yeah,
it's now Flyover Fest.
Yes. I saw that.
Yeah, so we got that.
Will you tour, like, will you do shows out to that, or just kind of?
I don't think we're going to have the ability to, so we're just going to have to fly out for that, you know?
That's awesome.
In early October,
don't spoil anything, but
there's another, like, little run that's going to go on that involves Wreckage and some other members of the Scheme Tribe.
Oh, sick, dude. Awesome. Yeah. I also too quickly want to shout out Sean Nyland, who plays in
King
Bass and Wreckage. He also he helps out in the distance, does Seventh Circle, a man of many talents, man. Very cool to see him playing with you guys. Getting to share that bond with you guys. Man, you know, just watching you guys do your thing, man. So everybody who hasn't had a chance, the Wreckage album is available everywhere that records are streaming. I think the vinyl is readily available now, Noah, or is it still?
Yeah.
Is it right? Yeah.
I think there's still some black copies left on the Scheme store. I think you guys have Mastatic Era.
So Kyle's supposed to bring him in. We're working on him. You know how that goes, but yeah. He knows. I mean, listen, I have a standing order for him. So as soon as we get him, what I did actually just put up today was, again, shout out to you guys. You gave me one of those fucking massive posters. We finally got it up on the wall. I can't wait to see where we put it. It looks so sick. So yeah, man, again, I know, from my end, and Ivano echoed it earlier, dude, we're super psyched for you. Obviously, man, anything that you need that I can help with, you know that I'm always here. But I encourage all of our listeners. I know most of our listeners are a little older, so take a chance. You're going to love this. It's like super traditional, well-done hardcore, done by some really great people, put out by an amazing label. You know, that like, you know, again, we can't say enough good things. Noah, where can everybody catch up with you and Wreckage online? Shout that out so everybody knows where to find you.
We are most active on Instagram. Wreckage CTHC on Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I want to say, we really do kill it with the older crowd.
Yeah, you do.
We're rooted in tradition.
Yo, what about this? Last thing, Jay, remember when Wreckage did the record release party at the front room of the space?
Yo, I couldn't get in.
Yo, we both couldn't get in. Remember that?
Yo, you know what's funny?
Oh, you should have said something to me.
I don't want to put nobody on blast, but.
Yeah, you do. Come on.
I'm not gonna do this to the promoter. But we got, Noah, just so you know, there was a text threat sent that discouraged older people, like your two friends here.
No way.
Yep. Am I exaggerating? It was.
Yo,
we
were trying to down for sure. We were like, we heard there was no way you can get in. Like there was Sarah, just, don't matter who you are, no way you
can. The crazy thing, we stressed so hard over the guest list for that show. We're like, this guest list is going to be a fucking movie. It's going
to
be crazy.
Well, I wasn't even asking. Well, this is the thing. No one, everybody else knows this about me. I never got on the guest list. I will always, right or wrong, I will always pay. People like, they'll be like, no, you're, and I'll throw the 20. I'm like, no, I got it. It's good. I'm good. And that show, I should have listened to Sarah Edge, because shout out Sarah, always being right. She said, oh, are you going to buy a ticket for Wreckage? And I said, no, I should be good. I think it'll be fine. I said, I'm going to get there and I'm going to get a ticket. Mm-hmm. Fucking like 2-3 o'clock that afternoon, notification, group text. If anyone's thinking of coming, don't even try to come in.
You'll forget about it.
I'm not going to say who it was, but it was someone, it was a leader in the, a leader
no
who, of
way.
The show. Discouraged the two fans from coming to see.
No way. If you texted me afterwards, especially if it was late, I would have gone out there.
Listen, man, you know, I
went over the guest list by like five people. They didn't say anything, just writing names down.
No, because Sean said the same thing to me. But the one thing I'll say, man, is like, we both, all three of us know this about running a show. Ain't you the last thing you want some motherfucker bothering you the day of show being like, yo, like, I mean, we just went through that at fucking Death Threat.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of the, I loved everything about that day, but the fucking amount of people who asked me to get a ticket or can get me in or can you do this or that? And I was like, you know, it's not my fucking show, right? Like, I was like, it's Death Threat show. I'm like, we're just playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So, you know, next time, definitely a bigger room for the show, but, we'll be there, man. And again, I'm very excited. Everybody catch up with Wreckage. I want to thank everybody again for keeping up with the Digest and Rockus podcast that's been filling in the episodes for Diablo's Den. So again, Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Noah, big ups to you and Wreckage, man, and everyone's fucking rooting for you guys in Connecticut. You guys are the man, and good luck with This Is Hardcore and everything that's coming up for you guys.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. Thanks
Definitely,
for having
man.
Me.
Hell yeah, Noah. All right, shout out everybody. Thank you again. Another great episode. We will talk to you soon. Peace.
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, And my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.